listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. We told you, we're going to tee you up. Team Gruden, he likes Johnny Manziel. Team Jaws, he doesn't. Hit us up, let us know what side you're on quickly, and then we're going to roll through as the show progresses. A little Friday forecast, a little Doug Deacon at the bottom of the hour. So let's get right into it. We played this before, but we'll play it again in case you haven't heard it yet. Ron Jaworski, not on Team Manziel.
I'm not crazy about him, to be honest with you. I've only looked at five games. I wouldn't take him in the first three rounds, but that's my opinion. It's incomplete right now, but he has not done a whole lot to me.
Done a whole lot to Jaws. He was pretty clear about that.
Yes.
And, there's been some speculation that, is this for shock value effect or whatever. I've known Ron Jaworski, Nathan, for many, many, many years. My first time of covering the National Football League back multiple decades ago. It was in the 70s. I was covering the Philadelphia Eagles when Ron Jaworski was their quarterback, became actually one of the guys that I was closest to on the team. And then since he stopped playing, we got even closer. And he's originally from Buffalo, too, so we had a lot of Buffalo connections as well. When he speaks from the heart. It's a genuine assessment, and he prides himself on seeing not just watching film or spending the time of watching film, but seeing those things that even coaches, personnel people might miss. And I'll give you an example, and I won't name them, but there have been two highly regarded general managers. Actually, one is no longer with us. He passed away. And then another one that is still around who told me that his assessment of some of certain players through the years, he saw things that they hadn't seen, and even the coaches with whom they worked hadn't seen. And in one case, the assessment was from the Edge matchup show, where he said they broke down some stuff that the team for which this GM worked said, I wish our coaches had figured out. That's the kind of analysis Jaws provides.
Sure.
So when he offers an opinion like that about a player, good or bad, you listen.
You do listen. And then on the other side, you got John Gruden, who I think is almost effusive in his praise, always, is pretty complimentary, although I do enjoy watching the Gruden quarterback camp series, which will be on ESPN. I look forward to tuning into that. Pretty much every big prospect will be a part of that, so that is something to watch. And you get a sense of what they can do on the whiteboard and the way they think about the game, so I do like that. But Gruden says he wants Johnny Manziel.
If I was coaching today, I would want a quarterback like Johnny Manziel. It's hard to find a player that can create offense on his own.
And now here's another guy you said effusive, and he tends to be. I know some people, especially in his broadcast life with ESPN Monday Night Football, often hear the guy who sounds like he loves everybody, and that guy's the sheriff, and that guy's the this and the that. I will tell you this, having worked with John and having done a book with him, his assessments can be very harsh as well about players, about coaches, about front office people, certainly about owners. He's got some very deep opinions, and he's an opinionated guy. And certainly we know how he feels about officials, but everybody has those negative feelings about officials, so that's fine too. But when it comes to liking the playmaker, I find it fascinating because this guy has worn out a lot of quarterbacks. A lot of quarterbacks have not been able to handle the Gruden style of coaching, and in fact found problems with it, honestly, because he pressures them so much. I don't know how well. It's what's interesting to me is he would love to have him on his team. I don't know if Johnny Manziel would want to play for John Gruden, though. That's the only catch there.
I don't know. That would be a fire relationship that could go down in flames. But he does like that improv style, and he compared Johnny Football to two other great improvisers in the NFL, Brett Favre and Ben Roethlisberger.
He does things that Brett Favre did when I was in Green Bay. He does things that Ben Roethlisberger has done for the Steelers. He makes yards on his own.
Yeah, he does that, and that's a fair point. It's the thing from a football standpoint, that you like about Manziel, what's the best quality that he brings to the NFL? I think it's two things. The improvisation that he can make work or that he made work at the collegiate level. We'll see how it works in the NFL. But certainly that as a track record, combined with the swagger, the attitude, the confidence, the trying to will his entire team to success and the drive, there's nothing to hate about that. That's all good stuff. We know what the obvious other questions and faults are. There's some people who say, forget about that. Throw conventional thinking about quarterbacking out the window. This guy's special. That's where I draw the line. I can't cross over to that, well, that magical stuff I saw him do in college football is going to work in the NFL just because it worked against Alabama. I can't. I think that's overblown. And those who want to support and say that Johnny Manziel is the be-all, end-all in the NFL are sticking to that. But I think there's a broader picture here that's still troubling. I can't let go of the conventional quarterbacking thoughts that I have.
I understand. And when you think about the two guys that he compared them to, you got Favre, 6'2", 222 with one of the strongest arms ever, and Roethlisberger, 6'5", 241. So clearly different body types, different arm strength levels, et cetera. Right. The one guy that is so high, and you know him very, very well, that's so high on Johnny Manziel that is the one that kind of makes me not rethink, but always kind of think about my own evaluation of Manziel, where he is, the more tape I watch, the lower he gets, because I just see too many things that I just don't think will work in the NFL, is Gil Brandt. And right. Gil Brandt loves Johnny Manziel and thinks he's the best talent in this draft.
He does. And when Gil says it, I take that very seriously. I do have immense respect for what he knows and know him about as well as anyone can. We worked together at NFL.com for many years where I really got to know him, co-hosted many times on SiriusXM NFL Radio, traveled through training camps together, drove through multiple states together from camp to camp on our camp tours. When you're in a car that long, you talk a lot of football with a guy like that because it's like sitting with a 2,000-page encyclopedia of football. But even at that, my sense, I know what he's referring to. And when he says things like, this guy is more like Fran Tarkenton than somebody else, and he's talking about a Hall of Famer, he's talking about a dynamic player I grew up loving and watching. Fran Tarkenton was one of the early attractions to me to pro football, watching him play. Why? Because he was exciting. He was fun to watch. He was, I had that, and it wasn't like he was leading his team. It wasn't a front runner fandom thing I had going. It wasn't like he was leading teams to right. Super Bowls and a lot of victories, Nathan. But you know what he was doing? He was making it exciting and buying time and doing all this crazy running around and then making plays as he did it. And this is what Manziel looks like to Gil Brandt. So I respect that. I take that into consideration. But I also think that Fran Tarkenton played at a very different time, and I don't think defenses, especially the athletes on defense, you did not have then that you do now.
Right, and exactly. And you don't have the speed, and you don't have the power right. and the ferocity of what's going on, the athletes that he will have to contend with in the National Football League. It's an interesting debate. It's one that will keep going as this season progresses, which side of the fence you are on. You said yesterday that you wouldn't be surprised if he ends up falling out of the first round. I still think he goes in the first round. I think somebody will want him, at least from the business standpoint of what he will bring to their team, and that will be one of the things that is interesting to see. I think that it is interesting, though, that the Browns were the team most linked to him, and now I would say that I think it would be a surprise if, in fact, the Browns took Johnny Manziel.
It certainly would be fun, though.
Oh,
it would be
great.
It would be fun. Selfishly,
it'd be great.
This part, I want to make sure. I've said it before. I'll say it one more time just to make sure it's not lost on people. When I say, again, the potential of him to fall out of the first round is there, when I also say that, I don't love him the way others do or have those feelings about him as his success in the NFL, I add this. As a selfish interest of doing the job that we do, co-hosting the show, writing for ClevelandBrowns.com, doing the television stuff, the video stuff, I want that guy to be part of the team for those reasons, because he will become a story all to himself. He is a brand and a beat and everything else. Now, it won't last, obviously, if he's not the player that he needs to be. So there's the downside of it. So that's where – but, my God, what an infusion – of fun it would be to have that around, just to talk about that in every possible way. So
certainly anyway. We will see. All right, we'll be back with the Friday forecast, 2:30. Doug Deacon, it's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, continues here on ESPN 850 WKNR.